It's time to go back to school with Professor Fish, Southern Colorado's only show dedicated to college athletics, University of Fish.
Oh, man, I think the clock is slow.
Class is now in session.
I don't feel tardy.
Here's the professor, Tim Fisher.
Bowl season is upon us, and even better than that, we get to talk some crime and punishment in the NCAA. You know how much I love doing that, and it hits close to home now. We're talking Northern Colorado, University of Northern Colorado in Greeley. Their men basketball team has been hit with some serious penalties after 9. Yes, count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's not enough. Let's go with 9 of its staff members violated NCAA rules for academic fraud and recruiting. The violations include completing coursework for prospective players, paying for classes they needed to become academically eligible, and arranging off-campus practice sessions for student-athletes who were not academically eligible to play. The NCAA says UNC's former head coach B.J. Hill and several assistant coaches were directly involved. The university fired Hill in 2016 when the allegations first surfaced, and the team will have to pay a fine, spend 3 years on probation, also banned from any postseason play. It is UNC, come on now, for 1 year, and other schools are also restricted from hiring any of those UNC coaches for anywhere from 3 to 7 years. Now, one of the allegations is that they had grad assistants take coursework for these academically ineligible athletes. Come on now. UNC thought they had some UNC North Carolina thought they had some problems with academic fraud by giving these easy classes. What's easier than having a grad assistant do your work for you? Come on, UNC, as in Greeley, not Chapel Hill. You've got to do better than that. Now, in the state of Georgia, that's right, University of Georgia football players that were arrested right after the SEC championship game, drug charge against one of them has been dropped, and the other charge has been dropped on everybody else because it says Natrez Patrick, weird name. Anyway, the Barrow County District Attorney's Office dismissed the marijuana possession charge against him, and that would have been really, really bad. They said there wasn't any evidence against him, even though there was some pot found in the car, but I guarantee you people listening right now have more sitting in their ashtray than this guy had in his car. He had just one itty little bitty nug, piece of marijuana, in case you don't know what a nug is. Smaller than a penny. It was smaller than a penny. That's what he got busted for. And they also had him on charges of speeding, which, you know, that's just a ticket. No big deal there. And DUI, saying he was driving under the influence of marijuana. They dropped that, saying that there wasn't enough evidence to prove his client was driving under the influence because they did not do a field sobriety test. Now, it's hard to do a field sobriety test, especially for weed. We know that here in Colorado. But what his attorney called it was a little itty-bitty piece of marijuana leaf. That's what they're calling it. And I told you, it was smaller than a penny. If you've seen the picture, it's kind of crazy. But the thing was, Natrez Patrick, after he got popped by the cops, was begging the cop not to charge him for it because he knew he would not be playing in the Rose Bowl against Oklahoma in the college football playoff. Still waiting to see exactly what Kirby Smart does with the players because, they haven't commented on the charges being dropped, haven't announced any punishment because he was arrested with another player. Other players just a spare, so who really cares what he was. But it was the second time that Patrick has been busted for drugs. Second time. He was suspended 4 games earlier and returned to play against Auburn in the regular season earlier this year. So, actually, it's his third arrest. And according to the University of Georgia bylaws or their athletic code or whatever, he should be off the team. But in good news, and that wasn't bad news for them, but in good news, Rodney Anderson, running back for the University of Oklahoma, any charges will not be filed against him for sexual assault after the DA made the decision that there was no proof in the case, and that the girl's friends even came out and said she was after him. He wasn't after her. She was after him. So Rodney Anderson will be playing in the Rose Bowl. It's going to be a great game. We'll talk a little bit more about the Rose Bowl here in a second with Mitch Gall. Who is Mitch Gall? You're going to find out after the break right here on University of Fish. I am the professor.
Everyone, back in your seats. University of Fish is back in session.
Welcome back to the University of Fish. I am the professor, Tim Fisher. Now, we're sitting down with Mitch Gall. You ask me, who is that? Well, good friend of mine, new friend of mine, who went to Baylor, so you know we have lots to talk about there.
Yep.
Worked in the Air Force Academy Athletic Department, so we've got some stuff to talk about there, and is now heading off to the Big D, Highland Park, probably the snobbiest part of Dallas you could be in, but he's going to SMU. Yes, the home of Eric Dickerson, McElhaney, Craig James, and yeah, they've got a couple receivers that are pretty good down there right now. Mitch, how you doing today?
Doing all right. Thanks for having me, Tim. Really looking forward to being here, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. Now, what did you do for Air Force Athletics, or what are you still doing for the next week and a half?
Yeah, so I work in athletics fundraising for them, so I've been doing that since I graduated in 2015. Work with a number of our different sports, the non-revenue-generating, as we call them, because we don't season ticket for them, so like the Olympic sports. And then working with donors, fans of the program, and the parents to raise money for them.
You're going to be doing the same thing at SMU?
Yep, yeah. So it's just additional responsibilities. More sports are going to be added to my profile and to my overall prospect list.
So you're pretty much trying to become John Curry, except do a good coaching search.
Yeah, I want to love to be an AD someday. That's the goal. That's where I'm hoping to head. So.
Okay, so let's start off. We'll start off with the Air Force because you're part of the athletic department, were part of the athletic department this last spring during the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of talk about the Air Force and the NFL draft because we know that Robin Nett, Steelhammer, these guys couldn't get drafted.
Yeah.
Well, they could have, but then they'd have to do their – they should have been grandfathered in, just like Keenan Reynolds was with Navy the year before. Talk about – what the athletic department went through, because one, I know you're probably bombarded by national media during that time, but talk about what the athletic department was going through at that point in time.
So I think for the most part, the department as a whole was pretty disappointed just for those guys. You know, we've gotten to have them at the academy for 4 years. They gave us so much. They're part of some of the most successful teams we've ever had. So I think just a general sense of, you know, we're disappointed for them. They're missing out on a huge opportunity to really put our name out there and put their names out there, go be successful. You know, Haji Dunn, like you said, Steelhammer, Robinette, those guys that could have put us even in more of the national spotlight and that we want to be in. So I think just being overall disappointed, we can't really change it because we're not the government side, but yeah, definitely kind of stunk for those dudes.
Well, it's good that Robinette finally got his degree, got his commission and everything. I mean, because that was a whole other story right there, and which we never really got any clarification on, and I don't know if you have any on that as well.
Yeah, I don't got any information on that either. I'm as in the dark as I think a lot of people are.
Oh, I know, and a lot of people are going, why didn't he? And because, you know, he was going to the prep, you know, to work as a coach at the prep school and everything, and luckily he did get that commission. But going to SMU, we're going to talk SMU for a second because strange situation right now. Because you have a coach leaving, well, who's already left, going up to Arkansas, and then Sonny Dykes comes in. Dykes is a name that's very well known in college football because of his dad. But Sonny's been, you know, he was coach at Cal, coach at Louisiana Tech, and now he's taken on Louisiana Tech in a bowl game there in Frisco, which, you know, is not a long drive from the SMU campus, but with Dallas traffic, it's a very time-intensive drive, especially if you're trying to go up the tollway to get to Frisco. And I don't know how much you know about Dallas, but you'll be learning a lot. Stay off the tollway. I'll tell you that right now. Okay, so let's talk about Dykes, who has not coached in over a year, has not been on a football field in more than a year, but he's going to step in as the new head coach, coaching the bowl game. Kind of odd, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely not something you normally see. I mean, when you see coaches leaving, typically you see the opposite. If they leave a school, they go and that if their school was bowl bound, they're not coaching that team in the bowl game. You don't see a new coach come in and then coaching in the bowl game. I think to the benefit of Coach Dykes and the SMU football team as a whole, the offenses that that Chad Morris ran and that Sonny Dykes are going to run are pretty similar. So I think in that regard, it shouldn't be too much of a learning curve, and it'll definitely help going forward to kind of see what he's going to bring to the program.
Do you think any of the familiarity with Louisiana Tech and the system they've been running there for years, think that had anything to play into it with Dykes knowing that as well?
I got to imagine it did. Just him helping with the game planning and, you know, knowing the general tendencies of the offense, knowing what their defense likes to run, what they don't like to run. And for him, from his perspective, he was coming in as an analyst from TCU before he accepted this job at SMU. So he's had time to, you know, to be watching film. That's what he's been doing. He's been helping out with the offense so he can kind of understand and see Louisiana Tech maybe a little bit more of like an inside route than any other coach would.
And TCU played SMU this year, as they do every year. So he's got some familiarity with that, and he'll be good for recruiting because he knows the area as well. I think Sonny Dykes will do well there. SMU's up on the upswing. After they received, we're talking almost 30 years ago, it actually was 30 years ago, the death penalty because of some of those names I named earlier with Dickerson and James and McElhaney, the Pony Express, or the Pony Excess, if you want to talk about 30 for 30. But is the death penalty and the remnants of that, is that going to make your job maybe a little bit tougher at SMU as the school's still trying to rebound from that?
I don't think so. From my perspective, there's demand for, you know, for donations, and people want to give. Really, it's the philanthropic side of it, and people getting access via their donations is pretty consistent, and that's across all sports. There's a demand for it. We're not going to see the repercussions there. I think the harder area that SMU has been hit has just been in football recruiting. The results haven't been as they want it to be since the allegations and since the death penalty and everything came down. So that's a little bit, I think, where it's a little bit more affected.
Okay, because you are going to the Harvard of the South, even though a lot of other schools like Rice try to claim that and some other schools. And you got the Harvard of the West, Stanford. I mean, I don't know why everybody wants to be Harvard, I mean, because they've not been successful in sports, but academically, SMU, a very, very good school. But you went to a school in Texas, Baylor University.
Yep.
Now, lots of talk about Baylor the past few years because of all the problems that went on there, all the sexual assault allegations and arrests and some convictions. What was it like to be a student at Baylor as this was going on?
Well, from my perspective, when I was a student there, I never was even aware that anything like that was even remotely going on. There were maybe one or two instances where a player got in trouble and was disciplined, but in general, there was no campus-wide knowledge that these kinds of horrible, horrible acts were going on. So as a student, it was just something that I never even thought of. I knew we were winning football games and was happy about that, and it was a very exciting time to be a student. And then seeing all these allegations since I've graduated and realizing that that was the culture that was fostered just makes you sick to your stomach. That's an institution and a school that I love. I love my alma mater. I love Baylor, and I want the football team to be good. But looking back at all those wins from the time I was there, I would give back every single win, every bowl game, the Heisman Trophy that Robert Griffin won, all of that back if it meant that no one got hurt. And I mean that with every fiber of my being.
I mean, even though you went to school at Baylor, and while RG3 was there, not a big fan, are you?
No, I don't really like him just for personal reasons. He's not someone that really strikes me as the guy that he puts on for the camera is a lot different than from what I've seen or heard about him in person. So just not someone that I'm very high on.
Obviously, the NFL, not as well because he's not playing anywhere right now. But, okay, now, I don't want to get into the whole bashing Baylor thing because I did that all last spring when all the reports and everything was coming out. But let's talk what's going on in college football right now because I know you're a big fan. And we could still, and I talked earlier about the whole Rodney Anderson case at Oklahoma where everything got dropped because the chick wanted to be his girlfriend. He wanted nothing to do with her. And then her friends came out and said, yeah, this is what was going on. Nothing happened. And she didn't remember until all her advances got rebuffed. It's usually the guy getting rebuffed, but she was getting rebuffed. So we'll talk about that. But we will talk about Oklahoma, because Oklahoma is taking on Georgia in the college football playoff. I want your view of the playoff games.
Yeah, so I think we'll just start right there. You're an Oklahoma guy. You're a fan.
No, I'm an alum. There's a difference.
True. You got all the affiliation there, all the affinity for the program. I think that's going to be, of the two playoff games, that's going to be the best one, no question. I think Georgia as a whole program is on the up. I think that Kirby Smart has done a phenomenal job there. He is going to be great for the program. Georgia as a whole is going to be on the rise. I think that game is going to come down to who's better, Georgia's defense or Oklahoma's offense. And Baker Mayfield, he played a phenomenal, phenomenal season. That's why he won the Heisman. In my opinion, I think Georgia's going to win it. I think Oklahoma
You're
has
not a- welcome on the show, again, by the way.
Well, I appreciate the honesty. I just don't see, from my perspective, Oklahoma's offense is great, but they went up against no defense. The Big 12 is known, and I mean, you know this as well as I do, that the Big 12 defenses are iffy at best. They haven't, when they go up against a team that has a really solid defense, they tend to struggle. Now,
An Ohio State.
Yeah, and that Ohio
State.
Oh,
wait, that was a 31-17 win for Oklahoma, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic win. I just think that overall, Georgia's defense is better than Ohio State's. And I think that Georgia's going to come out on top because their defense is going to make just enough plays to keep them in the game. I don't think Oklahoma's defense is going to be able to get enough stops.
Okay, let me put you to task here. Talking about Georgia's defense, what offenses have they played this year?
They played Auburn twice. Now, the first time it didn't go so well. They completely shut them down. And Auburn is the closest offense to Oklahoma that they played all year. The SEC is not known for the offense, especially this year. I still think, though, that at the end of the day, the athletes Georgia has on that defense are up to the task.
Okay, so you're taking Roquan Smith over Baker Mayfield, pretty much, is what it boils down to. Okay, now let's talk the other side of the bracket. Mm. Clemson versus a team that I think you personally don't belong there.
Yeah, in my perspective, I think that Alabama, they had one good opponent all year, and it was Auburn, and they lost. They didn't play... They played a pretty cupcake schedule, all things considered. I know that you can say SEC West this, SEC West that. At the end of the day, they played one other good team, and they lost. I don't think they should have gotten in. I know that the committee obviously felt different, but there's just a bias there. I think the Big 10 champ, had it been Ohio State, should have gotten in. They beat Penn State. They have enough good wins, and they played enough other good teams. You'll excuse a loss to Oklahoma. Oklahoma got in the playoff. But you're going to tell me that just because they have two losses doesn't mean that they get in? I don't know about that.
It was a 31-point loss to Iowa, though.
It was.
It was that. But then you saw, you know, because they Alabama struggled with Mississippi State, struggled with Texas A&M. And, yes, they won both those games. But wouldn't USC have just as much argument, if not more? Because, yeah, they lost by 30 as well, but they lost to 30 to a good Notre Dame team.
Yeah, I think you can make the argument for the pack for them as well, because at the end of the day, at least they played teams. They made it a point to go out, and whether it was in their conference, the way that they played, and the way that the Pac-12 scheduled them, they had a trap game on a Friday night on the road. I don't know why the Pac-12 did that. They were probably their favorites, but that's for the scheduling people on folks in their conference to decide. But a conference champion should have the 100% the leg up on a team that didn't win their conference, and unless they're not undefeated, and Alabama's not undefeated. So
no. Okay, so since I've heard you talk so flowerly about Alabama, I guess you would take Clemson in that.
Yeah, I think Clemson's the more complete team. I think Hurts is a good quarterback for Alabama, but I just don't think that they have enough offensive firepower to score. I think overall Clemson's offense is so balanced, their defense is so good, and they've had guys that have that experience from the last two playoffs. They've played in those big games more than Alabama has, and they've proven that they can win, and Dabo Sweeney's a heck of a coach. So,
okay, so now you're looking at Clemson, and for some reason why you say Georgia. Clemson, Georgia, who wins it?
I think Clemson wins it in a close one. I think that one is probably going to be a pretty similar thing of strength versus strength, but I think Clemson's defense overall is strong enough to hold Georgia from taking it over, and I think Clemson wins it probably by three.
Well, now, if I were to grade your first appearance on the University of Fish, you'd get a B-.
All right.
I mean, it's a passing grade, but it would only be worth like 2.5 points because it's a minus. You know, like an A- is 3.5. We talked about that earlier. But anyway, Mitch Gall, thank you for joining University of Fish this morning. And enjoy your time in Dallas. Great place to be, and it's a good time to be at SMU.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Fish. It's been awesome. Looking forward to getting down to Dallas, and hopefully I can come back on your show sometime in the near future.
Now, when we get back, we're going to start picking the bowl games. They start in just a couple hours. We're going to talk about two teams that we haven't talked about all year because it is that time of the bowl season. We'll do that when we come back right here on Extra Sports 1300. You're listening to University of Fish. I am the professor.
Everyone, back in your seats. Professor Fish is giving a lecture.
It's that time of the week, and it's going to be this way. Okay, now, you may get tired of hearing this guy, because he is going to be our guest picker throughout bowl season, because I didn't want to have a different guest picker each week and then go, hey, this week of the bowl season, I beat this guy. This week, I lost to this guy. So it's going to be one record for the two of us. Ryan Kaufman, the Ginger Ninja himself, host of Drive Time Sports, heard Monday through Friday, most days if there's not some live sports interrupting him, right here on Extra Sports 1300. Ryan, it's bowl season.
It is the most wonderful time of the year.
You just stole my line. I was going to start singing, but I will save everybody from that. But we're starting it off later today. The Celebration Bowl. A lot of people don't have this on their radar because it's not FBS teams. It's HBCU teams. And just in case everybody out there doesn't understand HBCU teams, it's historically black colleges and universities where you get the best halftime shows. The bands for these HBCU schools are great. We got North Carolina A&T taking on Grambling, the Fighting Eddie Robinsons. So, A&T or Grambling, or why would you watch this game?
That's what I did. I came in with reasons to watch every bowl game.
Okay, and why?
So I would say to make people at the bar wonder why you're such a big fan of one or the other if you are white.
Okay.
That it would be a fun social experiment to see if somebody asks you, and like, you went to Grambling? I mean, I know they allow white students.
Yes, that's why they're historically black.
They're historically black colleges. So I would say that would be the reason to watch. So you could do that. I'll take Grambling because of Eddie Robinson.
Because of Eddie Robinson. Okay, now time for me to throw down some knowledge on you.
Yes, please do.
Both teams riding 11-game winning streaks. So that's important right there. But A&T could finish an undefeated season, the first time they would do that in the MEAC, which is, I'm not real sure what MEAC stands for.
Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference.
Sure, we'll go with that. We'll go with that. So, and for the halftime show.
Halftime show.
Halftime show is going to be, as the kids say, off the chain, lit, on fleek, or it's going to be something.
Right.
It's going to be one of those words that I don't understand. But no, I'm taking North Carolina A&T in this game because you took Grambling pretty much is the whole reason there. Now, next bowl game is a game that is almost, well, it's a team that is used to playing in this bowl because it's their 11th appearance in this bowl and taking on a team that's pretty much playing at home. That's the RNL Carriers New Orleans Bowl, Troy versus North Texas. And that's going to be, of course, in the Superdome later today. The Mean Green or whatever Troy's mascot is.
Believe
the Trojans.
The
Troy Trojans. Yeah, there you go.
I'll take Troy, and it's kind of the reason why I'm picking it is the same reason why you should watch. And it's Neil Brown, the head coach of Troy. He is one of the up-and-coming guys in college football. So if you're... if a big school like SEC school ends up hiring a guy named Neil Brown, you got in on the ground floor and you know who he is. They won 3 games before he got there, and now they're like 11 games over 500 in 3 years. So Neil Brown, both the reason Troy wins and why you should watch.
Another reason to watch is because Troy did upset LSU earlier this season.
Hmm.
A lot of people didn't see that game, and so you know, find out exactly what this Troy team is. But another reason to watch is Mason Fine, and that is the quarterback for North Texas. No one else offered him a scholarship except North Texas, and this kid, all he did was light it up this year, 28 touchdowns, almost 3,800 yards passing. Granted, it is Conference USA, so not a whole lot of tough competition. I mean, I don't know how much Tulsa pushed him. I don't even think Tulsa's in AAC, aren't they? I don't even know where Tulsa is. But, well, I know where Tulsa is, but I don't know where they land in the college football world, because the Golden Hurricane usually have a pretty good team.
Yeah.
But the Mean Green, they did lose pretty badly to South Florida. No, Florida, we're FAU, isn't that where Lane Kiffin is?
You're right.
Yeah, they lost to FAU, played FAU again in the championship game for Conference USA, fell again.
Mm-hmm.
Losing twice to Lane Kiffin in a year, that takes a pick away from you right there. And like you said, Troy does have a up-and-coming coach, and they beat LSU. Take the Trojans with the points, whatever the line is. Who cares? Okay, Auto Nation Cure Bowl. Here in a second, we're going to get to some games where you actually know the teams. Western Kentucky, Georgia State, why do you watch?
Big Red, much better than the other Big Red you're probably thinking of when I said that. He's the, like, Elmo, like, overweight Elmo thing that has a head like Ike from South Park.
It's pretty much a fuzzy gumdrop is what he looks like.
It's a mystery. Big Red is kind of a Warshack. Is that what, Warshack?
Rorschach. Yeah.
You kind of see what you want in Big Red. To see him on the sideline, and if you're a fan of Pink, that would be the two reasons to watch.
A fuzzy red grimace.
Yes. Nailed it.
That's what he is.
With a head like Ike.
Yeah, with a head like Ike. Yes.
Up and down like
Ike. So you're saying Big Red's Canadian.
Yes.
Yes, Big Red's
Canadian.
That
is a fact.
Okay, so that's why you watch the game, is for Big Red. Another reason you can watch, two first-year coaches, Mike Sanford with Western Kentucky and Georgia State's Sean Elliott, they both need a victory to secure first-year head coaches a winning record in their first season. So, going to be tightly contested because of that. Mike White, though, the Hilltoppers, good quarterback for them, 3,800 yards, 24 touchdowns, does have seven interceptions, but he can be go down in Western Kentucky history as only the second quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards in two seasons. Who was the first?
No idea.
I didn't either until I read it. Brandon Doty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know Brandon Doty.
Good old Dote.
So, okay, you want to pick a winner?
I'll take that guy.
Okay, so we're going with we'll both go with Western Kentucky. Now, we are talking about December 16th. And these next two teams are playing on December 16th. These teams are used to playing like the 29th, the 30th, 31st, or maybe even actually New Year's Day. The Las Vegas Bowl, Oregon, Boise State. Crazy game to have this early, but oh, how the mighty have fallen. Why do you watch it, and who do you like?
I will watch it, and I like this team for the same reason. I love two quarterback systems. Two quarterback systems, they exist in college football, not in the pros. Brett Rypien and Montel Cozart for Boise State. That is why I think that they will beat Oregon. Rypien, your straight dropback, much like his uncle, 2,500 yards this year through the air. And Cozart's not like a super running quarterback, not the best, but just the threat to run allows him to be super efficient in the passing game. 164 quarterback rating, 10-1 touchdown to interception ratio. So I like Boise for that reason, and I love watching two quarterback systems.
Okay, here's why I'm going against you and taking the Oregon Ducks. Yeah, you're saying, okay, they lost Willie Taggart. Offensive coordinator, yeah. Cristobal, was promoted to head coach. So it's his first game coaching.
Mm-hmm.
The last two times these teams met, 2008, 2009, Boise beat him both times.
And that when LeGarrette Blount punched somebody?
That's when LeGarrette Blount punched the guy in the postgame incident. So, for those reasons alone, Oregon looking for revenge for losing to Boise back then, because that was when Oregon was on the rise, mm-hmm. and Boise was at its height.
Right.
Oregon trying to get back up there. Herbert, Hebert, whatever his name is, collarbone's good. Oregon's offense was lighting it up at the end of the season. Oregon Ducks beat Boise. There you go on that one. Now, talking some local teams.
There you go.
The New Mexico
can only talk about one, right?
Exactly. The Gildan New Mexico Bowl. This one being played there in the ABQ, and the Isotopes aren't playing, but Marshall taking on the Rams of Colorado State.
I have two questions. My first one is the obvious one. Will the Rams decide to show up? 61 points they gave up to Idaho last year in the Potato Bowl. They look like an undisciplined, disinterested football team, and it made Bobo look really bad. And now you have this team going to a different bowl, and Bobo just got an extension on Thursday. So it would be a bad look to have the guy you just extended coach another team to a stinker in this bowl. So I think that's a question, and that's also why I think the Rams will win, because Bobo won't let them, you know, be like they were last year. And then I'm also obviously interested in Michael Gallup. Is he a big fish in a small pond, or is he a guy that can be put up there with Cortland Sutton, Paris Campbell, these guys that aren't Calvin Ridley, like the second tier of wide receiver in college football? So Michael Gallup and the fact that they were so bad last year in the Potato Bowl is why I think the Rams will win.
Well, you bring up Michael Gallup. I want to see Nick Stevens. I want to, because Gallup couldn't have had the year he's had if he didn't have someone throwing it to him. I mean, that's usually what a receiver needs. And Nick Stevens, everybody was expecting Josh Allen to be the best quarterback in the Mountain West. Statistically speaking, it was Nick Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
So for offense alone and the fact that Marshall's dropped four of its past five games, I'm going homerish, I guess, and taking the Colorado State Rams to win that game. Now, back to those unknown games. The Raycom Media Camellia Bowl. Where's this played? Do you know?
I don't know where it's played, and I also don't know what a camellia is.
Okay, can't really help you on camellia, but I can tell you that it's played in Montgomery, Alabama.
I believe camellia is a female chameleon.
It could be.
No, it's a flower. It's a really girly flower.
Okay, it's a very girly flower. But in this game, you've got Middle Tennessee taking on Arkansas State, who used to be coached by Gus Malzahn. Is not anymore, but used to be. So there's a tie in there.
That's a compelling reason to pick them. I'm gonna go with Middle Tennessee State, and I have no football reason to go with that.
Okay, I'll give you a couple reasons.
Thank you.
Why. Arkansas State lost to Nebraska. That's a good reason to take someone else.
I feel good about Middle Tennessee now.
Yeah, another good reason to take Middle Tennessee State is they did something this year that Clemson could not do. They won at Syracuse. So Middle Tennessee beat Syracuse. Arkansas State lost to Nebraska. You got to go Middle Tennessee.
I thought you were going to go the transitive property there and say because Middle Tennessee beat Syracuse and Syracuse beat Clemson, Middle Tennessee could beat Clemson.
You never know. That's why they play the
game. That's why we need to extend the college football playoff to 64 teams.
So we can have that dream first-round matchup of Middle Tennessee and Clemson. And that's probably how they'd be seated if it was 64 teams.
Right.
Now, before we digress anymore, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, even more bowl games with even better names. Right here on the University of Fish on Extra Sports 1300, I am the Professor.
Let's take a step out on the quad. Professor Fish is giving a lecture.
Welcome back to the University of Fish. And now, as the bowls get better, the names get harder. Okay, now, this one's a fun game I'm going to try to say it. The Sheriff Bundy Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl.
The Boca Raton Bowl.
If for no other reason, to hear the announcers say the name of the game. That's why you watch. But we've talked about this guy already. Florida Atlantic, the Fighting Lane Kiffins, against the Zips of Akron. This one is actually being played next week. This game will be on, looking at the calendar, Tuesday. A Tuesday bowl game. Mm. A Tuesday
coveted
evening
spot.
Bowl. Tuesday evening bowl game. Mm. So, you know, get that national audience.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin, I would never want him to coach my team, but I find him just super entertaining. On Twitter and everywhere else. So that's part of the reason, but a real football reason, Devin Singletary, the Conference USA Player of the Year, first running back to do that in the history of the award. So Devin Singletary and the awesomeness that is Lane Kiffin overcome the Zips.
Well, the last time Akron took the field, they got ran off the field by Toledo. Okay, 45-28 in the MAC championship game. Akron ranks 117th in total offense in the country.
Nice.
They're taking on FAU that all they do is score points. And it can be an 11-win season for FAU. And who would ever think that Lane Kiffin would score, I mean, would get 11 wins in a season anywhere. So he's going to get his 11th win, take FAU over Akron. I don't care how many points they give you, but take it. Now, in the DXL Frisco Bowl, I don't know what DXL is. Is that the extra large men's store?
Destination XL. Yeah, DJ Khaled and David Ortiz endorse them.
Big Poppy.
You hear their commercials on this station all the time on Extra Sports.
Yes, you do. Sometimes I have to get ready for the next segment during the commercial break, and I can't always catch the commercials. Mm-hmm. But so for the Fat Guy Clothing Store, Fat Guy Clothing Store Bowl in Frisco, this being played at Toyota Stadium in Frisco, where they also hold like national championships for like JUCO and stuff like that. So it's a good stadium to play in. Louisiana Tech taking on SMU. Mm. SMU doesn't have a coach anymore. Well, they do, and he'll be coaching in this game. Sonny Dykes, who just got hired as the head coach from SMU, and you heard Mitch Gall talking about this earlier, who's now going to be part of the staff, the athletic staff, not the football staff, be part of the athletic staff there at SMU after leaving Air Force. Air Force will be sad to see him go because he's done a good job there. But we talked to him earlier about Sonny Dykes coming in and coaching after he's been on the job for a week and a half, and he'll be coaching the team in a bowl game. He does run kind of the same offense that Chad Morris, who went to Arkansas, runs. But it is Louisiana Tech, and Louisiana Tech has always been able to put up some points. So, are you going to Louisiana Tech or the Mustangs, who have that long drive from Highland Park up to Frisco, which, depending on the time of day and traffic, it's only about 20, 25 miles, so it takes about 3-4 hours in Dallas.
There you go. I'll take SMU, and this is the reason why you should watch Courtland Sutton. He might be the second wide receiver taken in the NFL draft after Calvin Ridley. He is a legit number one receiver in the NFL. His catches were slightly down, but his production wasn't in terms of he still had 16.4 yards per catch, had that in his junior year, and catching more balls. So Courtland Sutton, the player to watch and the reason why SMU beats La Tech.
Okay. Now, you forgot someone that Courtland Sutton plays with. And that's Trey Quinn. They're the only pair of receivers in FBS that both had 1,000 yards. So the only team in the country that had 2,000-yard receivers.
Mm.
It's a good reason to pick SMU. They've, 24 touchdowns between the two of them as well. But Louisiana Tech only gave up 16 touchdown passes all season long.
Hmm.
So good defensive backfield or just really poor quarterback play that Louisiana Tech's been against. But with Dykes taking over for Chad Morris, Dykes wasn't even in the game this year. So maybe you can say he's had like a year to game plan.
There you go. That's he circled this very game.
But I am taking Louisiana Tech because of Dykes not coaching for a year. So there you go. December 21st, we're actually to a Thursday game. Thursday, which is a whole lot better than a Tuesday game, I guess, in the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. What's a Gasparilla?
I have no idea. That's literally what's on my notes. What is a Gasparilla?
I don't know. While you're telling me who you're going to take between Temple and Florida International, I will have an answer on Gasparilla.
You better Google quick, because I am taking Florida International, and I have no football reason why. That's my second bowl where I'm just like, I'll take this team.
I'm thinking Gasparilla. Okay.
Sarsaparilla is a soda.
Yeah, and I keep seeing, like, when I Google, it's like Gasparilla season.
Okay.
It's it has something to do with pirates, I believe. It has something to do with pirates because there's the Gasparilla Pirate Festival that's held in Tampa. The Seminole Hard Rock Gasparilla Pirate Festival. Everything is pirates. And I'm guessing, you know, since this game is played in at Tropicana Field there in St. Pete, that, you know, lots of pirates along the Florida coast. Well, maybe not anymore. And there's one less pirate that should have been in Florida this year, and that'd be Mike Leach going to Florida instead of Willie Taggart. But, so, Gasparilla has something to do with pirates.
A mythical Spanish pirate who supposedly operated in Southwest Florida in the early 1800s.
And that would be Jose Gaspar.
There you go.
Yes, Jose Gaspar.
We crowdsourced that one.
Yes, we did. Okay. Did we even talk about who's playing, though? Temple and Florida International.
FIU, and I feel better about my FIU pick, given that this game obviously is in Florida.
Okay, so you're going FIU.
I go FIU.
I got to go FIU with you as well, which is not what the experts think, and I don't know why you could call ESPN experts on anything these days. In the Bahamas Bowl. Now, if you had to go to a bowl game.
Yes.
It's the Bahamas Bowl or the Hawaii Bowl.
Or the Idaho Potato Bowl.
There is that one, too. And there's also the Motor City Bowl in Detroit. Why not go to Detroit?
Why not go to that one?
But Bahamas Bowl, UAB versus Ohio.
Yes.
So that means Frank Solich coaching in this game.
Mm-hmm. I think that Ohio is going to be upset they didn't make the college football playoff. Oh, wait. That's
Ohio State.
You got to take UAB. You love UAB. They didn't even play football last year. They win, what, 8 games. They're 6-0 at home. Get in on the ground floor of this. Become a Blazer fan. I will take them to beat Frank Solich and Ohio.
Now, you've pretty much took all my reasoning for taking UAB.
Yeah, you got
way to UAB. Steal that thunder. So, yeah, UAB. Now, we are to... Let me see, make sure I'm – okay, our last game, I think. Or was that our last game?
Nope. You got the Potato
Bowl. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl, which will be played on next Friday afternoon. Of course, they're at the Smurf Turf of Boise State. And you got the famous Idaho Potato Bowl with that great matchup of Wyoming and Central Michigan. Is Josh Allen the only reason to watch this game?
He is, because a lot of mockers, including Tom McShay, have Allen going to the Broncos. So that is absolutely the reason to watch this game. I am incredibly interested in Josh Allen because I see the size, I see the athleticism, but in the Mountain West, Josh Allen should run wild. He should be a one-man wrecking crew, and he really hasn't been. He's just 8th in completion percentage. He's 10th in yards per attempt. He gets sacked as much as Brett Rypien, despite Rypien dropping back about 50 more times and being immobile. So I know you have to project the talent, and regardless of the supporting cast, but a guy like Josh Allen, if he's really in the vein of Mayfield and Rosen and Darnold, he should be dominating in the Mountain West, and he just didn't. So this is my kind of last chance to see if I'm going to still be out on him or I'm going to see something where I feel like maybe he would be worthy of a top 10 pick.
Well, Central Michigan, no real reason to pick them. I don't know anything about them other than they play in the MAC. But then again, it's MAC versus Mountain West. Josh Allen, you know what? I'm going to go with him just because it's not a long drive up to Boise. It's not a short drive because Wyoming's a pretty long state. and then you have to cut up through the, you know, the panhandle of Utah.
It just feels long.
And all that. Oh, yeah, it does feel very long. And I know a lot of you people have made that drive that are listening. So for no other reason, I'm taking Josh Allen and Wyoming. But
I think they win.
Now, here's your off-the-radar bonus pick. Also, going on today, we have an NCAA championship being decided today. And it actually involves the Nebraska Cornhuskers and the Florida Gators.
Volleyball?
Volleyball. Pick one. And any reason you can think of why you picked them.
Nebraska, because didn't they win like a million matches in a row, or was that Penn State?
Well, Penn State had won like a million in a row before Nebraska beat them.
There you go.
So that's why you're going Nebraska.
I'm going Nebraska.
Okay, I'm going to go. I'm always the contrarian. You know that. I'm taking the Florida Gators. And why? Because these two teams matched up earlier this year. And the Florida Gators beat Nebraska in five sets.
Tough to beat a team twice in a season.
Well, it'd be actually beating them six times since you play the best of five sets. So we're going Florida Gators over the Nebraska Cornhuskers. I told a fellow employee of ours I would get that game in somehow into this show, and that's the only way I'm going to do it because bump, set, spike, not that exciting for radio. It's really not. I got to call.
I've done it before.
I've done it on radio.
Mm-hmm.
Substate in Kansas, 2A volleyball. No more intriguing radio.
Northeastern Junior College in Sterling. I called volleyball up there.
I think 2A Substate probably beats college volleyball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's going to wrap up University of Fish for this week. But don't worry, we will be talking that great matchup of Texas Tech, Southern Florida next Saturday as we kick off the rest of bowl season. Not going to do one long show for you this year where we pick everything and you have to go back and reference. I want to do the games of the week up until the next show for you. And so that means also next week we'll be getting closer to those New Year's Six games. We'll be talking the 29th games. So it'll be a good time next week right here on the University of Fish. Ryan Kaufman will be back with us, and we'll be back. Class dismissed. I am the professor.